You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Happy Wednesday, or is it? I'm Adam Weinherb, joined as I always am by fan-sided MLB insider Robert Murray. And a whirlwind day outside the game off the field yesterday may have shaken up the looming potential lockout ahead of the 2027 season. And who better to help us all out, because I'm sure plenty of people have plenty of questions, including me, questions we can't answer today, but reactions we can gauge. Plenty of, you know, hot stoves we can touch, not the fun kind. The fun kind is where players move, and the bummer kind is when you just touch a stove and it's extremely hot and you have to think about what it would be like when there's no baseball. If there's no baseball, might there be baseball next year? Here to talk about what the reaction has been inside the game from various sides after the Tony Clark ouster is Robert Murray. And Robert, welcome to the show, and everybody get your questions in. We will do our best.
No, that we will. It's good to be here with you as always. Kind of a crazy last 24, 30 hours in the news cycle here for sure. But yeah, Tony Clark is out as the head of the MLBPA going into a crucial season. There's still plenty of other stuff to talk about around the league as well. Still some big free agents remaining on the board who are left unsigned, but obviously everything that's happening with Tony Clark and what exactly that means is the talk of baseball right now. So I'm excited to talk about it. But Adam Weinherb, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And yes, I do want to touch on some of that more fun stuff. There was a Padres spending spree between the last time we talked and now. Bryce Harper, kind of a wild swinging pendulum out there with Dave Dombrowski in Philly, and some remaining free agents still on the board. I am confused about what the Braves are or aren't considering. But please get your questions in. Join us in the Discord if you're not already in there. Between shows, you can bother Robert and myself. There's a Q&A at 3 p.m. Eastern every Thursday at the All-Star tier. Go to fansided.com/newsletters, too, if you want the Baseball Insiders newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week. Content from Robert on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You got the MLB staff writers populating that with good stuff for you. So please both subscribe and open and click those emails. We would really appreciate it here on the Baseball Insiders, of course. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the Prospect Show on Tuesdays. If you subscribe and turn your notifications on, you will know when we're going live and when we might be talking about potentially seismic events like Tony Clark, not only suddenly being out overnight, one day planning a speaking tour, going to Guardians camp the next day, out as head of the MLBPA, but not only done, he's out in a cloud of controversy. There is potential monetary, financial things that are being investigated. There was also personal controversy. Sounds like the players were maybe just as taken aback by this as the rest of us were, and it sounded like a lot of emergency gatherings. I know Austin Wells, Henry Davis, some of the player reps sort of called sessions to talk to some of the players this morning. And yesterday, anyone got a quote from was like, I'm processing this at the same time as you are. But you have talked to a lot of players. You've talked to people on, you know, potentially both sides of the ball. What are you hearing around the league early in the way that this is being received?
Yeah, it was stunning. First of all, like, not necessarily stunning that Tony Clark was out as the head of the MLBPA, because with that investigation going on, not the one that was reported by Jeff Passan, but just into the different finances that law enforcement were looking into, thought that could be the reason why he'd be out. But then, I mean, everything that Jeff Passan reported yesterday about the inappropriate relationship with somebody at the PA, that was stunning. And the text that I got received from agents, from players, ranged anywhere from like WTF to OMG to like, you gotta be kidding me. Like it was pure shock. I mean, that was my reaction too when I saw the report, and it is true, which as you'd expect from Jeff Passan. But now it leaves the MLBPA in a position where they're kind of, I wouldn't say vulnerable, but Major League Baseball is going to be able to like to smell blood in the water there. And even Brent Suter yesterday, when he was talking about it, said that MLB is going to try to use this against them. And the players in response, they've agreed where they're going to just talk about their strength that they have. Seeing Brent Suter talk about it, Tarek Skubal, some other leaders among the players, Bruce Meyer as well, has kind of said the same exact thing. But now the players have to figure out exactly who's going to be taking over for Tony Clark. And obviously Bruce Meyer's name is coming up a lot, and he's going to have a significant role here when it comes to these negotiations with the Players Association in Major League Baseball. Like, he's going to be a key part of the PA, but does he get promoted to Tony Clark's role? Does he stay in his current role? There's somebody who I heard, Matt Nussbaum. I heard he's a candidate to be, or at least someone that the players really like, and I could see him having a prominent role when it comes to this as well. There's going to be others that are considered in this as well, but it's not a good position for the PA going into one of the most important years in their modern history, because a lockout sure does seem inevitable, and now they're going to have a new leader at the table, and yeah, it's... Did not expect this one come across the table yesterday, for sure.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Yeah, and it's just such an odd situation where we know what the last couple of negotiations with Tony Clark at the head have looked like. They have certainly been contentious. So it's not like, hey, if you keep Tony Clark, you're going to avoid this lockout for sure. You're going to avoid head-to-head. You're going to avoid contention. We know that those can get testy. We know that occasionally, you know, there has been infighting on the player side as well in previous battles. Now, you know, the familiarity is gone. The instability is obviously very threatening. Like you said, lockout feels like a certainty. It feels like we're now fighting against cutting off a prolonged lockout, not stopping one entirely, although that was the case before and after the Tony Clark change. Maury Brown noted yesterday that it is possible an interim MLBPA head, I mean, Bruce Meyer, someone you mentioned, and Nussbaum, we are still looking at Daniel Murphy and Andrew Miller were thrown out today. Kudos to the players for maybe it's letting things settle down before leaping too early into naming a successor. Again, this could not be more important, but that there is a possibility that if the right name is chosen, it may actually strengthen the player's position compared to what Clark could have advocated for. Now, we know the instability now, like you said, is going to be used against the players, but we are still many months out from the expiration, from this season ending. Is there a chance that they eventually get to a stronger position than the one they're in now, where obviously, like you said, the owners smell that blood in the water?
Yeah, it's as you said, the owners smell the blood in the water. And the first thing that the players have to do is name a new leader. Like, that's the first and foremost thing. But either way, no matter who is going to be leading the charge here for the players, there is a lot of different issues that they're going to have to navigate and they're going to have to figure out in these upcoming negotiations. And the biggest one seemingly is a salary cap situation. And I don't like, it seems like the owners are going to be pressing pretty hard for that. And part of me wonders if the eventual solution is going to be, okay, let's say the owners give up the idea of a salary cap, but they're willing, they have to get something more in return from some different issues to, in order to give that up. And that's going to be a significant obstacle here. And it's going to be one of many that they're going to have to navigate. So I don't know who it's going to be leading here. If it's going to be Meyer, if it's going to be Andrew Miller, Daniel Murphy, Nussbaum, or whoever else it's going to be. But it's going to be contentious. It's going to be something that is like the players. It's going to basically be who's going to blink first. Is it going to be the owners in Major League Baseball? Is it going to be the players? I don't know. Nobody knows as of this point, but it's going to be one long staring contest is basically what this is going to feel like here. But yeah, it's not going to be a very fun stretch once the season's over, because it's going to be a lot of tense. It's going to be a lot of up and down reports, and it's going to leave a lot of people frustrated. But this, we've all seen this coming here for a couple of years. It's not the fact that Tony Clark was going to be out going into that season.
Well, I hope to never do one of these episodes again, but I have terrible news for future me. We're definitely going to. But thankfully, saving us for the time being is spring training and spring training action. They're getting on the field this weekend. There will be New York Yankees, Baltimore Orioles baseball on Friday, less than 48 hours from today. So plenty of on-field storylines to still talk about. Again, get your questions in. We are happy to answer them. Open season. There's never been a better show to ask us your questions because we want to stop talking about labor relations. So we'll answer even the bad ones. Just kidding. There are no bad questions. Just kidding. There are. But I found Bryce Harper's situation to be the most interesting this week. Clearly still upset at Dave Dombrowski. I will not get on this pedestal and say there is no way the two sides can work this out, because typically frustration between star player and front office and the way business is handled does not result in a shocking divorce the way it did with the Red Sox and Rafael Devers last year. But we have seen the pendulum swing wildly. We saw Devers get traded in the blink of an eye. I believe that you broke that one and maybe didn't believe it yourself when it happened. Michael Wilbon went on BTI this week and said Bryce Harper might get traded before opening day. That's not going to happen, but we do have crazy theorizing going on because it's rare for something like this to spill out publicly with such a prominent name, even if Bryce is not elite anymore. And I still think he's pretty close to elite. But my question is, can you see this fracture in the relationship leading to Bryce ending his career somewhere other than Philadelphia? So I'm going way long term. Like, I'm not saying traded in March, I'm not saying traded at this year's deadline, but does this boil over and lead to an eventual divorce, or can you just not see that happening?
I can't see it happening. Like, it's clear that there's definitely some tension in the relationship. Like, you see Harper mention it not once, but twice. First time being with the Philadelphia media, and then the second time being on Bussing with the Boys. And he made it a point to point it out that he's not an elite player anymore. That is exactly kind of, well, that's pretty much what Dave Dombrowski ended up telling the Philadelphia media after the season. And as soon as he said that, you got the idea that Harper was going to take it personal. I believe he even went on the record with Matt Gelb shortly thereafter. And he challenged Harper publicly. Like, he did it. And it's very rare you see an executive do that. I think part of the reason Harper was so hurt is when he ended up signing with Philadelphia, he was told that any issues that they had would be handled in-house, that it would be handled in person between leadership and him. And in this case, it ended up spilling out into the media where he offered it voluntarily. And it was not, he was upset with how it was handled. And for a player of that caliber, for a star player, I don't blame him one bit. I'd be upset if somebody handled our business publicly. So I totally get it from his end. But I do not believe this is going to lead to a trade now or in the future. Like, Harper has even said he wishes he started his career in Philadelphia. He loves the city. He loves the team. Loves going to Angelo's for a cheesesteak. Tacanelli's as well. Those are his two top spots for a cheesesteak in Philly. But I would be stunned if that happened. I remember, like, as you said, finding out that Devers got traded, like, you could at least kind of like see maybe that could be a thing, maybe somehow. It was funny. Even one of my friends, Grant, he texted me months before, like, you think Devers could get traded? I'm like, maybe, maybe not. Like, you could make the argument for it for sure. And all of a sudden I find out Devers gets traded, get it confirmed. And it's like, oh, holy shit. Like, that's, I'm about to go break the internet. But I don't believe there's any scenario here where Harper gets traded. I can't see that ever hitting the internet here for sure.
Well, I wrote down Tacanelli's. I've never heard of that one. So I got to, at the very least, I maybe didn't get a juicy rumor out of this, but I got a juicy cheesesteak.
I will tell you, another good one in Philly is Woodrow's. Woodrow's is phenomenal. That is a very good cheesesteak. So I've had that one, and I can swear by it. It's phenomenal.
Don't mind me, just writing a bunch of cheesesteaks down in separate tabs, as one does. The comment saying that John Middleton loves Bryce would fire Dombrowski over trading Harper, I do feel like ultimately he would side with Bryce. The big Dave trying to motivate Harper backfired. Did it? I don't know. We might be about to see Harper in psycho mode. Maybe it worked. It made him real angry.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy who thrives with a chip on his shoulder. And it's clear that he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. So I think while there might be some frustration now, what we see from Harper is going to be like the MVP version of Bryce Harper. I got that gut feeling that's coming.
Yeah, I would believe in him too. He's not one to go crying over spilled raw milk typically. So let's see if we get a big year from Bryce. And to take it to thoughts on a couple of recent moves and then get to some of your questions as well. A flurry of Padres activity that just won't end. We are live right now, and I'm still worried that before the end of this segment, the Padres are going to sign an additional player to a minor league deal. Walker Buehler, probably the headline grabber. Griffin Canning joins the pods as well. Nick Castellanos, of course, ended last week. Thoughts on the Padres and AJ Preller getting a whole lot of shopping done at the what should be the end of this free agency period?
Yeah, no, it's been incredible moves here by the Padres. And I've cautioned many Padres fans, including Drew, I think I've told him this almost every day of the entire offseason, is that Preller is always working the phones. He is trying to find value. He's trying to make moves in the margins, considering the restraints that he has with the payroll. And it's quiet for the majority of the offseason. Obviously brought back Michael King, really nice move there. But then they add Griffin Canning, Walker Buehler. They add all sorts of different players here to their major league roster. And my understanding is Buehler has a very good chance of making the opening day roster. They're very high on what he can provide. Obviously knows that division extremely well from his time with the Dodgers. It shows why AJ Preller is just so good at his job. He is absolutely relentless. On Valentine's Day, he's making all sorts of different moves. You find out about Canning. You find out about Nick Castellanos. You find out about, all these different moves that he's made. And he works tirelessly to make sure that roster is going to be in as good a shape as it can possibly be, considering the state of the payroll. So massive props to Preller. I love what the Padres have done. And they should once again be making that division very interesting. You can never rule out more moves with Preller. Like, he'll talk trade. He'll be talking free agency stuff. Like, you see him at spring training. He's always on his phone. Like, that's any picture, any video, he's always on his phone. I don't know what his screen time is. I would love to ask him. But his work is never done. But I give him credit, because I think this last couple weeks here, or last few days really, he cemented the Padres' status as a team to be reckoned with here in the National League.
I would not have bet on Walker Buehler wearing that uniform ever, not to mention signing with the Padres, signing with the big league team this year before Lucas Giolito and before Zach Littell got finished. The Braves situation gets more dire by the day. You got Hurston Waldrop now down on the 60-day, getting those loose bodies cleaned up like Spencer Schwellenbach. And yet it seems like the Braves don't have that willingness to go shop for a veteran like Giolito. So thoughts on the remaining free agents on the market? It mostly highlighted by pitchers. I know Starling Marte is still out there, but it's mostly Littell and Giolito that we're talking about on a daily basis. So thoughts on their market. And then again, it seems like the Braves refuse to be tempted. Chris Bassett wasn't enough. You know, that dollar figure ended up being higher than I maybe thought it would. But do we think the Braves are really finished here?
They shouldn't be done, and they should be looking at starting pitching, considering that Schwellenbach is undergoing elbow surgery. You have some other rotation injuries there for Atlanta as well. And it was clear even before those guys were dealing with their injuries that they needed rotation help. So I never thought Zach Gallen was a serious consideration for them. I couldn't see them ended up giving up a draft pick for a starter. But that being said, like, a guy like Giolito makes total sense. Zach Littell makes total sense. Maybe it's trying to find somebody here on the trade market. I don't know who it could be. Anthopoulos always operates in silence, of course, but they have to go out and do something to address that rotation. Because if you look at their team, they've obviously added this offseason. They did a lot to the bullpen. Added some names here in free agency, but they are still another starting pitcher, if not more, away. You still have some good guys out there. You don't know if it's asking price. You don't know if, like, what exactly the issue is between or for those guys to still be on the board here, but they have to go out and do something. And I hope Anthopoulos does, but time is ticking, because spring training games are almost starting here. Opening day is not that far away either. So time is ticking, Anthopoulos.
It's like the only rotation with bad vibes right now. At every other camp, your beat writers are telling you that every pitcher in the rotation has added 2 pitches and 2 miles an hour to the fastball. And at Braves camp, they're cleaning up everybody's elbow and looking for a potential veteran addition who may or may not ever come. So we'll keep our eyes peeled. Clock is certainly ticking, and there are names on the market, but fewer than you'd think. Going to go to a few of these questions before we sign off. Armand is amazing. Any update on Paredes being traded before opening day? We've had our eyes on the Astros infield forever, and Carlos Correa's comments only made it clearer that there's a real crunch there. Just before we went live, there was a report hanging out that they were pivoting to looking at Michael Conforto, knowing that they might not have the trade leverage and match they were hoping for. But thoughts on what the Astros do before opening day?
Yeah, the Conforto report is true. I can say that. I heard late last week a connection there. Trying to figure out, I don't know if I'm allowed to say like what I had heard, but there is definitely interest there for sure. Whether it leads to a deal remains to be seen, but I can confidently say that there is interest there between the two sides. But as far as their infield goes, like they're still going to be taking calls here on Paredes. They're going to be taking calls on Christian Walker. I would think of the two that Paredes would probably be the most likely to be moved, considering just his overall talent level, the affordable contract. And Walker really wasn't drawing much interest at all this offseason. So that could be a tougher guy to move if you're Houston. But I'm wondering exactly who the fit could be here for Paredes. Is it Pittsburgh? Is it – I thought the Brewers could make some sense. Could it be – well, they obviously just signed Luis Rengifo, so that could maybe take them out of the sweepstakes. Could it be Boston? Like, who exactly could it be? But I think the Pirates do make sense. They obviously are – they want to upgrade the offense. They've done so this offseason. And if you can add him to your infield, you're going to be feeling pretty darn good about the upgrades that you made as far as their offense goes. And they have made a deal with Houston this offseason. It was a three-team deal, of course, but, I mean, who says they can't do it again? But I don't have a good read on how likely that is, though.
Cody Clegg and Canyon both asking if the Pirates are done. Clearly, they are still working if the opportunity presents itself. George Corey, one more question to take us out. Are the Giants in the market for a reliever or two? Are any tweaks still in San Francisco, or is it just Tony Vitello relitigating his departure from Tennessee several months ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he definitely wanted to relive that and get his stance on the record there for sure. I could absolutely see the Giants being involved here for another reliever or two. Like, they have been looking all offseason for different guys. They've obviously added a few guys, Jason Foley. He was coming off the injury, so you don't necessarily know what he's going to be able to provide. But they've been evaluating that market for the majority of the offseason. So I could see them going out and maybe adding another name, whether it's on an NRI, major league deal, who knows. But I will say, going back to the Pirates questions, they have an abundance of catching depth. And I wonder if teams could be could ask them about a guy like Joey Bart, you know, if they could try to get him out of Pittsburgh. That because teams are always looking for catching depth. He's got a high like pedigree. He's a former like high-end first-round pick. So you wonder if a team could try to move from or make a move for him, see if they can get more out of him. But I don't know. I don't think anything is close there by any means, but I could see teams trying to get that or trying to get him away from Pittsburgh toward the end of spring here.
Appreciate all your questions as always. Thanks for helping fuel the show. We will see you again on Friday and then back live next week. Go ahead and watch that Sweden USA men's hockey game. We appreciate everybody who stopped by in between watching the action of Milan Cortina. For Evermurray, I'm Adam Weinreb. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.